Welcome to London Scotty Radio from London Scotty Club. I'm George Matlock, and first of all, I'd like to apologise for the audio quality of today's episode. We hope to get it right for the next one, so bear with us, and thank you for your understanding.
Playing online and on smart devices. Now on London Scotty Radio, it's podcast time. I'm George Matlock.
Episode of Scotty MOT. Now, our guest today is somebody who hasn't been on for a whole month, and yet it seems like it was only yesterday that we had our guest on the show. I have to say, though, I feel that this guest has probably aged only a week. I've aged about 2 months, I think, in the same period. But here we are. I'm very pleased to introduce again to you Jackie Ash from Ashgate Grooming and Kennels in Fivehead, Somerset. Hello, and how are you doing?
Yes, I'm very well, thank you. Lovely to be back.
It's a pleasure to have you back, Jackie. And we're getting a lot of good feedback from listeners as well about the programme. So this is great. So thank you to listeners. I just want to share that with all the listeners as well. We're getting some nice feedback about the programme. So for those who are uninitiated, who stumbled upon this podcast, just to explain to you, Scotty MOT is about Scotty health and well-being. The programme is the one where you, the audience, can ask the questions. If you've got a Scottish Terrier and you're concerned about your dog, you can send in your questions to us and we will do our best to answer them. I should say at this point that Jackie is not a qualified vet. She is certainly an expert on Scottish Terriers, however, because she runs a kennel and grooming service. But she is not qualified medically, so if you are in any doubt about what you hear on this programme, please do consult your local vet first. I think that's important to clarify. So, Jackie, looking through the mailbag, I know some of the questions that people have been asking about are to do with gnashers, teeth. We all know how important teeth are to human beings. They're for our own health. There are so many things are linked to the health of your state of your teeth, and ever so much more for dogs who really do need to have a good grip on with those teeth. What can you tell us about what's going on out there? You see a lot of dogs, obviously, that come into your kennels. I'm not asking you to sort of expose the dog owners for bad dentistry or dental work, but what is this general state of play of the dogs and their teeth that you are seeing? Let's start with that.
Dental problems are quite bad in dogs, if I'm honest. We see dogs from the age of 2 that have got very, very bad buildup of plaque, staining on their teeth, and inflamed gums. And it's a really chronic problem in our pets today. It's partly to do with the food that we give them, but it's also to do with the fact that the dogs are not eating as many bones to clear the teeth of the plaque that's building up. I mean, 80% of dogs in the UK by the age of 2 will have some level of dental disease. Scotties are very prone to it. We're not 100% sure why, but they are one of the dog breeds that are far more likely to have problems with their teeth than other breeds. Okay, so yeah. It's really important that if owners can, from an early age, start getting these teeth brushed and getting into a habit of good dental care, they're going to stop the progress of this infection that from the plaque is going to go into the gums, and ultimately, apart from just losing teeth or having to spend a lot of money at your vets having a dental under an anaesthetic, these problems that we're seeing, the infection will also go to their kidneys, their liver, their heart, their joints, and it shortens a dog's life, probably up to 3 years. So it's not something that you just look at them and think, oh, we'd like to have white teeth. It's got really got nothing to do with that. It's actually about the health that's going on under those teeth and up into those gums.
Right, so you're saying it's not about vanity, it's about the general well-being and health of the dog. Right,
yes, absolutely. Yeah.
When you mentioned earlier that they're not eating bones, I suppose this reminds me of a reference you once made to find a couple of spare antlers.
Yeah,
you know, as you do. But what can we do about that? Because I mean, actually, on the market there are obviously lots of available chews and dental sticks and stuff like that. Some of them seem to have a lot of sugar in them, which doesn't seem to be a very good choice, I would say, because sugar is not good for teeth, right? On the other hand, there's rawhide, there's other things which are also, I think, worrying for some people, because if the dogs are not supervised, it can cause a blockage if they consume a large amount of rawhide. So what would be your take on this? I mean, are these products all good but in moderation, or would you be looking at an alternative?
Any chew that you give to your dog is going to help with them to build up the saliva that's in the mouth, and that in turn helps to keep those teeth clean. A natural bone, if you're going to give bones at all, a natural bone from your butcher is by far the best. They're less likely to do any damage, and you know they will really enjoy a natural bone. I would personally always stay away from anything with rawhide. Reason being is if it's made up of animal fats, it also has formaldehyde in it, which is obviously used for preserving bodies, which is not a nice thing for your dog to be chewing on. But it's teeth cleaning is really the route that we need to go down. I mean, these complementary chews or bones really are there just to help things along once your teeth are clean. You know, it's a bit like us, you know, if you want to have you know, a healthy mouth, you might say, okay, well I'll screw my mouth around with a mouthwash. But if you haven't cleaned your teeth in the first place, it's really not going to do anything for that, and just certainly give you fresh breath. And it's really the same. You need to get people to clean your dog's teeth. And if need be, invest in the new ultrasonic technology, which is out there, which will really help treat the gums as well.
Very good. Now, I know that our two dogs had their dentals done last autumn. It's the first time they've ever had them done. I was very anxious about the process. One dog is seven years old. The other dog, the other one had turned six. So they've never had their gnashes done before. The younger one seemed to be in very good shape, and we knew that when he went in for the treatment. The older dog, we knew already had a bit of a problem with his teeth. Even a little bit of receding gum line, although nothing too dramatic. So it was a bit sort of borderline. They said we don't think we need to do too much here, but just to keep it under control and keep monitoring. But the thing is that, you know, the thing that I was most worried about is that they will tell you that the dogs have to go under general anaesthetic.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, we always worry about things like that because, of course, we're always worried that, you know, will the dog wake up at the other end? Luckily, all went well. Is it something that we should be overly concerned about? I mean, I know that they do pre-tests, don't they? They check the health of the dog before they
Absolutely.
Put them.
And I would certainly say, you know, there is nothing wrong with having the dental done by a qualified vet. That they know what they're doing, and they can go up underneath the gum, which anybody who's doing lay or a lay person that's doing teeth cleaning, as we do with an ultrasonic cleaner, all we're doing is trying to prevent the problems building up in the first place and then delaying that dental. Right? Now, I know of dogs that we've been doing it with from the age of 6 months who've not had a dental, and they're in the same sort of age bracket as your dogs, you know, they're 7-8. There are other dogs, however, that, like us, they have eupa teeth, and by 3 or 4, they haven't had dentals. My position on it, as a dog owner, as well as a professional dog groomer, is that it's far kinder for me to get my dog used to having a procedure like brushing their teeth or the ultrasonic route when they're little. It doesn't hurt them, they don't feel it. All you're doing is holding a brush in their mouth. And if that prevents them having to have a general anaesthetic, even if it's only a year, you know, then to me that's worth it. It also probably saves me about £600 or £800 in the case. And again, it's a consideration, I'm afraid, that I need to take.
That's serious economics, £600 to £800. So, what, per year, or what do you mean when you...
Per dental,
right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a vet's charges have had to go up the same as every other industry has.
Yeah.
And certainly down here in Somerset, I have no idea around the rest of the country, but down here we used to pay about £500 for dental. It's around £600.
Goodness me. That's actually steeper than in London, I have to say. Yeah. And I don't really know how to answer that, but I do know that inflation, of course, is now becoming a real problem for the first time in 30 years in this country. And I suspect that prices for all professional services are going to rise anyway.
It
so
will.
It's,
it
yeah.
Will. But I think it's, you know, it's just a consideration to have.
Hmm.
My concern with them going to the vet and the dental, you know, to have that dental, is the same as you. It's the general anaesthetic.
Hmm.
It's an invasive procedure for them. And if we can delay it for as long as possible, then that's, I think, something as good doggy as that we should take on board.
Yeah, yeah.
And certainly the health of the gum rather than the lip of the tooth. I mean, if any of the listeners want to lift the gum on their, lift the lip on their scotty, all right, and have a look at the colour of those gums, if they are looking really red and quite swollen, and if there is a sort of a dark line at the top of the tooth on that gum line, then your dog has already got dental disease. And we need to try and help them treat that. It doesn't mean it's serious, you know, we've just been in very early stages, but it means that stuff is beginning to build up there.
Mm.
So let's help them to do, you know, help our dogs and do something about it.
Absolutely. Now, as you know, for us as humans, we are encouraged, not that anyone ever takes notice of this, I know, but we are encouraged to see our dentist every 6 months for a checkup and the general cleanup, a hygienist and all the rest of it. For dogs, and I appreciate what you're saying there, that, you know, we ought to be taking effectively preventive measures to delay for as long as possible those big dental visits to the vet. But how often should a dog have that sort of full dental treatment? I say we've managed to put it off for up to 7 years, as you can see.
It depends which route you go down. Most professional groomers are now, these days, are offering ultrasonic teeth cleaning, where we will do that in the salon. That's something which is widely available now. It's extremely effective. You're talking of probably your first session anywhere between £50 and £80, which will give you the toothbrush. And then, once the teeth are clean and the gums have been treated, then really a maintenance of that can be done when your dog goes to the groomers. You know, so if you're going every 3 months for their hand strip, just ask them then to do their teeth. And you're really then talking about a very low amount of money. You know, I don't know what other groomers charge. I mean, personally, I charge £25 for a maintenance 20-minute appointment.
I'll take you up on that.
And I just do it on my groom.
Yeah.
And that way, then I know that, you know, 3 times a year, you know, those dogs are at least getting a professional clean.
Mm.
In the meantime, if you get some, you know, chews which are, I don't know if, you know, if you want me to name makes or not, but if not, you know, there are... Even, you know, just brushing your dog's teeth with a toothbrush and some dirty toothpaste is all going to help.
Right. Is there a generic type of... I don't think we should really mention brands here unless listeners write in and specifically request that information. But I'm more than happy for us to share the type of ingredients, if you like, that go into such products that, you know, I'm happy to share that.
Yeah. I mean, certainly sort of there is oral... hygiene gel, okay, which is a form of toothpaste, excuse me, but that you don't actually use a brush with.
Mm.
The idea of the hygiene gel is that you put a very, very small amount on each canine, last thing at night when your dog's had its final biscuit, and that will spread around the mouth during the night, and then that will treat the mouth. That is extremely popular, and as far as I know, the companies that make those gels have got clinical trial backing on them.
Mm.
And they also do like chews, but in addition to that, you could give one, say, during the day, you know, just again to give some friction in the teeth. But just be careful, as you said right at the very beginning, be very careful about the sugar content and a lot of the mainstream brands, because they're not really going to do a massive amount, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You want to try and get the more expensive ones that are, you know, backed up by some clinical data.
Fantastic. Well, that is very, very good to know that there are products that we can reach out for. And I mean, in the past, you know, I guess what we would have been doing is sharing some kind of bones and things. I mean, is that something that, you know, from the yesteryear, the bygone era, is that something that we should be encouraging again? Because
our dogs love a bone from butcher.
Ooh.
And whenever we go in there, I will ask them, have you got some arrow bones? You know, you don't want to leave them with them, you know, for that long, because obviously they start to smell a little bit.
But yeah.
If you put it, I mean, the marrow inside the bone is so good for your dog.
Mm.
It's giving them such nutrients that our normal dog food isn't giving them. It's a huge treat. And if you did that once a week, left that with the dog for the day and then just throw the bone away, I think you could do a huge amount of good. I mean, you will see, I mean, we still see, and our dogs take them, what I would say, a pretty good condition. But you will still see, you know, where their gums will bleed onto those bones, where they're gnawing and they are really, and that's really good because that's getting rid of bacteria.
I guess it's the same as for us chewing an apple, right? Absolutely. It's supposed to be very good for the teeth as well.
Absolutely.
So once a week, you know, for a day, keeps the dentist away.
Yeah. Yes. And they absolutely love it. I mean, the only word of warning is if you've got two or three scotties together,
I think I know why.
Yeah. I don't want to separate them.
Yeah, yeah. It could be tough. Yeah. So yeah. Separate rooms.
Let them have a marrow bone. We give them outside because you know, they make such a mess, and we literally stick one outside with their marrow bone. You don't see them or hear from them for a good couple of hours, and it's doing them good at the same time.
We've never tried marrow bones, so what actually happens when this thing starts to be disintegrated by the dog? I mean, is it like lots of pieces everywhere, or does it...
If you get a good marrow bone from the butcher, they're covered in... It's always like a knuckle.
Yeah.
So the chances of them... They're not going to break that bone down at all. They'll try and get all the marrow out of the centre of the bone, and they'll spend a lot of time licking that, and if you want to, you can help them just start with a teaspoon, and they'll absolutely love you for that. And then they just gnaw away on the bone. And what they'll do is they'll take off all the sinew, they'll take off all the cartilage of the bones.
Mm.
But the actual bone itself is going to just stay.
And of course, cartilage is extremely good for the well-being of dogs, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you're just giving them, you know, completely what they really need.
And in terms of marrow bone, just while we're on that topic, although we're talking more about dental features here, but obviously... all the wider implications, the health implications, are also very interesting. Does it have any properties that perhaps sort of help build the immune system of dogs as well? Is there anything in marrow bone for that?
As far as I know, there is. I'll be honest with you, I don't know enough about it, but I'm sure, you know, our friend Google will be able to tell you all about the properties of marrow bones. But for years and years and years, breeders have been using them to top up the nutrients that our dogs are getting. And I think there's a lot to be said for that, to be honest, but I'd have to do a bit more searching into it, to be honest.
No, that's absolutely fine. I think for another day, that will be something we'll definitely want to come back to. I've got a feeling that people would really love to get their teeth into this one.
Certainly come back with any questions.
Yes, indeed.
I'll research it and
absolutely fantastic. Well, we'll remind listeners perhaps at this point then, as we come to the close of today's programme, That Jackie's on every month, so we're obviously looking forward to seeing you in a month's time. This programme is released every second Friday at 9 a.m. On londonscotty.club and, of course, on your favourite podcast apps as well. And if you've got any questions for Jackie or indeed for Kath Marchbank, who alternates with her on this programme, we invite you to get in touch with us. And you can do so either by going to our website, londonscotty.club, and looking for the contact button and sending your details through there. You can include photos with that. You can also even include a very short video if that would help our guests to better sort of channel the response for you. The other option you've got is to go to our new national website, and that's called it's called scotty.scot. There you go. So that's Scotty, double T-I-E, scotty.scot. And if you go there, you should immediately come to a questionnaire form. And if you click on that, you can again include your photos, your videos, and your general question. Don't forget to include the name of your dog, and only include information that you are happy for us to broadcast. I think it's very important as well. We do respect privacy, and we follow GDPR rules to the hilt here, but we very much request that you only provide what you are willing and comfortable for us to share on this programme. Jackie, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for that. It's great that you were able to talk about this topic, because I've always known you as a hair and blow dry person, you know.
We've got greater skills in the classroom, as you know.
Well, no, it's great to hear this. And I think that, as you say, this is something that not all groomers, but some groomers do provide as a service. And I think it's a really, really worthwhile. I mean, I know that, for example, toenails can be clipped and things like that are something that groomers undertake. You do as well, I know. And hand stripping, of course, is something that is your forte. But it's really good to know that you also are able to help with maintaining healthy teeth.
Yeah, I think certainly, you know, the groomers of today are very different to 10 years ago. You know, it's a professional organisation, and we're after looking at completely at the dog's health, not just teeth.
Fantastic. I think we'll, on that note, bow out for today. Thank you so much, Jackie.